The Trump administration's recent changes to vaccine policy have created a climate of confusion and uncertainty that threatens the continued success of U.S. vaccination programs. Among these changes was the removal of all existing members of the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Jason Schwartz, an associate professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Yale School of Public Health. Dr. Schwartz has written a perspective article about new approaches to vaccine policy under the Trump administration. Dr. Schwartz, when was the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices established, and how have its responsibilities complemented those of other committees at the CDC and the FDA?
The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP as it's known, was established in 1964 at a time when the nation's vaccination program was really emerging. It was expanding. We had new vaccines against measles, mumps, rubella, in addition to existing vaccines against polio and others. And the ACIP from the 1960s to the present has really been the focal point of evidence-based guidance for our national vaccination effort. There are other vaccine advisory groups, including one at the FDA that's important. Lots of advice that comes to state and local health departments, but the ACIP has been entrusted with making sense of an ever-expanding array of new vaccines with new potential uses and helping create the evidence-based recommendations, the schedules that are the focal point for how providers and the public make use of vaccines for children, adolescents, and increasingly for adults.
You say in your perspective article that the ACIP has developed elaborate processes for evaluating evidence, translating its assessments into recommendations. So what factors does the committee consider when deciding whether to recommend a particular vaccine?
There's this interesting relationship as we think about between the Food and Drug Administration and its role in vaccines and the CDC and the role of the ACIP. And it's unique compared to other medical products, certainly unique compared to pharmaceuticals. Where for vaccines, the FDA is in the business of thinking about which vaccines can be used in the United States, and they turn to advisors to help them in those decisions. But the CDC and its role through the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices has been asked to think about how vaccines should be used. And it's been an increasingly important piece of our vaccination efforts, as I've noted. So over the years, unlike other government advisory committees, which sometimes have varying meeting frequencies or varying influence, frankly, the ACIP has been incredibly influential, incredibly closely watched, and as a result of it, has developed the kinds of processes to think not just about their hunches or expert judgments about what a vaccination schedule should look like, but to go through the available evidence regarding risks, benefits, safety, economic considerations, social values, issues around disparities and equity in access to vaccination, to translate the available evidence to evaluate its robustness, its rigor, its quality, and how that might translate into particular policy considerations being put forward regarding exactly which population should get a certain vaccine when and when not. So these processes have developed, particularly in the last 15 or 20 years, and they've been a reason why the committee's work had been seen as so reputable, so credible, such a guiding hand for our vaccination programs.
Your article was initially published online in mid-June, soon after all the members of the ACIP were dismissed. What further changes have been made to the committee since then?
Yes, just in the past several weeks, we saw a new group of committee members appointed to replace those who had been dismissed, a group of committee members who have had, to varying degrees, histories of skepticism, to put it mildly in some cases, towards the approach that's been employed for decades regarding vaccine policies, skeptical or contrarian views regarding the evidence regarding the safety and effectiveness of vaccines, and a history of comments that suggest displeasure with the national vaccination program for decades. So these individuals were appointed. They met for the first time several weeks ago, and they've signaled a very substantial change in how the committee thinks about its work, the kinds of questions that they are looking to address in the months to come regarding safety issues, regarding the safety of the overall vaccination schedule, regarding particular safety hypotheses that have often circulated but have generally been seen as not credible or actionable. So we're seeing already a really significant pivot, even just in the few weeks, as you noted, since this piece was published, in terms of how this committee functions and certainly who will be guiding it in the months and years to come.
Where do these changes to the committee fit within broader reforms to U.S. vaccination policy since the beginning of the second Trump administration?
As I note in the piece, there's hardly been a week that's gone by where there hasn't been an announcement, a statement, a decision from the federal health establishment, from the Secretary of Health and Human Services, or the health agencies themselves that has disrupted how our vaccination programs have worked, from the kinds of research that's funded by the NIH that funds vaccine hesitancy, grants that have been canceled, to global vaccination commitments from the United States made to Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, to these advisory committee recommendations, to new announcements regarding how the FDA will evaluate vaccines. So this has been a set of changes to the ACIP that I write about that fit into this broader context of disruption to our national vaccination efforts. And I think what connects them together is a sense on the part of our current federal health officials that the traditional ways of thinking about the safety and effectiveness of vaccines that have guided vaccination policy for decades appear to be seen as inadequate in the view of these health officials, that the safety of vaccines appears to be overstated in this outlook, as has its effectiveness. So as you see all of these individual changes in terms of the individuals leading public health agencies, the expert advisors who are supporting their work, and various announcements about new directions for research, for investments, they all come back to this idea of setting a critical eye on the widespread consensus view for decades that vaccines are highly safe and highly effective. I think that's what we're seeing in all of these policies.
So finally, what role can non-governmental medical and public health experts play in sustaining U.S. vaccination efforts in this current climate? How can the void be filled?
There are so many voices in public health these days, so many voices with a stake and expertise on vaccines, on vaccination programs. Federal government is an incredibly influential and important one, to be sure, but there are many other voices with years of expertise and insights to help guide the decisions by parents, by other individuals, and by healthcare providers to how to make sense of all that we're hearing and seeing around vaccines, and of course, how to use our available vaccines most effectively. And as I write in the piece, what I think will be increasingly important is to see the roles that our medical professional societies in particular can play in being trusted communicators, trusted translators of science and evidence, trusted partners in helping to communicate that even though the messages around vaccines seem to be changing from the federal government and some of the policies and recommendations are changing, the science certainly has not changed overnight. And the science continues to speak very clearly about the value and importance of vaccines. So as I write in the piece, I think it will be really important for our medical professional societies, the American Academy of Pediatrics, for example, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, to use their decades of expertise, their deep relationships with the healthcare providers who individuals turn to help make decisions about vaccines and other important clinical decisions, to help provide clear evidence-based guidance regarding how best to use vaccines. And I'll note that even in the few weeks since this piece was initially published online, we're already seeing those kinds of actions from the medical professional societies who are speaking quite clearly regarding their views, regarding the continued importance of vaccines, their concerns about the COVID-19 vaccine recommendation changes that have been made, future changes to vaccine recommendations that seem to be in the works. So I think we are already seeing the medical professional societies trying to help provide clarity where it's understandable that there's a great deal of confusion. And I think that will likely need to continue as our vaccine policy landscape continues to change in the months to come.
Thank you, Dr. Schwartz.